You can't read any emails, you can't read any files. Basically, your computer becomes a brick.
The attack first surfaced in Ukraine, shutting down everything from grocery stores to ATM machines, power grids, and airports.
We've seen them steal money, we've seen them steal information, we've seen them destroy information.
Hackers infecting some 300,000 computers in more than 150 countries now, locking those companies up through their computers and then demanding ransom to free the files.
It's the nightmare scenario for any organization. Hackers have invaded your system, they've exposed your vulnerabilities, revealed the secrets of your business, your customers, your clients. It's a very bad look. But how did they get in? You thought your system was locked tight. Michael Generakis thinks he knows how. He's director of Trustwave Spider Labs division in APAC and routinely conducts simulated cyber attacks to probe companies' weak spots. Generakis has some sad but true stories of how trusted insiders simply open the door to would-be attackers. So if you want to beef up your security and minimize the risk, where's a good place to start? Is it with your employees? Michael Generakis.
Oh, in many cases, yeah, and not always maliciously, of course. But really, you know, the understanding that these threats are out there and that they're targeting your employees and preying, unfortunately, on our good human nature is just a reality and a fact of business. And it's something that, you know, businesses need to take into account. Unfortunately, it's not an easy problem to solve.
Tell us some of the everyday mistakes or practices that are happening that are made by employees and who might accidentally, as you say, compromise their organization.
We conduct regular attack simulations. So we are on the front line of conducting these sorts of safer exercises, but we see all kinds of interesting behavior. It's very common, you know, technique for us to use. Let's say, for example, if we're trying to gain access to a building, to go in and, you know, mess with their systems, we'll dress the part and we'll carry a bunch of heavy boxes or heavy looking books and things like that and stand near a door. And, you know, most people will let you in without checking your credentials or, you know, stopping to, you know, push you through the correct process to gain access to a building. And that's not because, you know, we're doing anything, you know, untoward or extremely malicious, but you know, most people just don't want to be that person that says, hey, sorry, you know, I know you look like you're struggling there with all those books or all those boxes, but you know, you need to go way out to the front desk and sign in because of security. Most people don't think like that. And, you know, most people just want to get their job done and they're just, you know, trusting and attackers prey on that. So really the key to turning that around is trying to establish a strong security culture where people are aware of these sorts of threats.
Michael, are there any stories that you can share with us about an insider inadvertently or accidentally doing something that compromised their business?
Oh, absolutely. I have many examples from the engagements that we've conducted. I think an interesting example, you know, we talk about security culture and establishing a security culture. And I know it sounds kind of cliche, but security culture really comes from the top, right? It's cliche for a reason. And it's also very practical. So the C-suite and the executives that are setting the culture are often also the ones that are the most targeted, right? They have the keys to the kingdom. They have the juicy information and they really need to practice what they preach. So an interesting example of not practicing what you preach, the CEO was the one that was engaging us. And he was really trying to drive a strong security agenda and security culture in his organization. He'd seen all the media attention and, you know, he was aware that, you know, this is something that, you know, needs to be, you know, at the C-suite level. He engaged us. And of course, you know, engaging us, he was informed of, you know, the exercises that we were doing and the timelines. But what we had done, we had found out that this particular CEO was a big fan of model railroads. So what we did was set up a fake model railroad forum and sent the link to the CEO. And he signed up for it almost immediately. And when he signed up for it, he used the same password that he uses in his corporate account with this fake model train forum. And so within, you know, a few days of starting the test that he knew was happening and that he knew was going on, we had access to the CEO's account. So we had access to all his emails, everything, all the systems that he had access to, we had access to as well. So it was certainly something that was interesting because he knew it was going on, but he just fell into these old habits where he just automatically trusted the link and very unwisely used the same password for his corporate account with this personal site. So unfortunately, we see that as all too common.
Oh, Michael, that is sneaky. Very, very clever. What about the disgruntled employees, Michael? You know, are there incidents that are deliberately malicious, and are those increasing, have you seen?
Yeah, so Trustwave conducted a global survey where we published the results in our security pressures report. And one of the interesting findings to come out of that was that 52% of Australian security professionals believe that trusted insiders posed a greater risk than external adversaries, which is certainly an interesting statistic. And one of the surprising things to note about that was Australian professionals rated that higher than anywhere else in the world. So certainly something that is on the mind of Australian security professionals. And I think really the issue is, and the reason it's so it's such a concern for Australian security professionals is because it's an unknown. Often these sorts of, you know, malicious insider attacks kind of blindside you, right? Because, you know, at some point, you know, you build a rapport with your employees and you trust your employees. And, you know, it's unlike all the external threats that get a lot of media attention, a lot of industry attention that are well known, and you have a little bit more comfort that you can control it. The insider threat is something that most people are generally unaware of how to really approach that problem. And it's certainly a hard problem to solve. And so I absolutely do think that we will, you know, continue to see these sorts of attacks because generally we're not really well prepared for those attacks.
So what are the main things that managers can do to make their IT system secure?
It's not really a tech solution. It's something that is broader, but really focusing on establishing a strong security culture in your organization and really getting that people element up to speed and making sure that that's not the weak link in your overall systems, because you can have really hardened, highly protected, highly monitored security systems and IT systems, but if your people are letting the attackers in the front door, or, you know, giving them access by, you know, sharing their passwords or downloading some malware that they execute inside your systems, all of those protections are kind of for naught at that point, right? You know, even though it's not a technology-based solution, it's definitely very important to make sure that you have that side, you know, up to scratch as well.
Michael, it's great to get the benefit of your expertise. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Via Skype, that was Michael Generakis, Director of Trustwave Spider Labs Division in APAC. And that's the show. Best Practice is produced by Ian Coombe. Our sound engineer is Andrei Shabanov. And I'm Amanda Woodard. Oh, and if you have the same password for home and work, well, don't say I haven't warned you. Bye-bye.